Welcome to Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God, a production of Lion's Share, a ministry that aims to co-mission with Jesus in making disciples of all nations. We ignite and provide resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. In our world today, there is more information available than at any time in history, but wisdom is in short supply. In this podcast, you'll hear how learning about the character and ways of God is a guide to wisdom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sonia Bearson, and this season on the pod, we're talking about Lion's Share's initiative called the Leadership Games. It took place last summer, and the goal behind it was to create an intentional path for older leaders to get trained on how to disciple younger leaders in their vocational field. It was also an opportunity to meet up and learn together, and then spend the next year meeting together online to go through a discipleship resource and continue building relationships. Now, one of the vocational fields represented at the Leadership Games are people who work in government, politics, and security. I think everyone can agree that these are professions where we desperately need people who want to do their work according to godly principles, with humility and a heart of service. So, today my guests include Dr. Greg Campbell, who spent 25 years in federal law enforcement with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. He's currently the Vice President of Law Enforcement and Government for Talent Smart EQ, where he facilitates, trains, and consults organizations in emotional intelligence, DEI, and leadership. We're also joined by Darren Bearson, who worked for more than 20 years in government and politics on Capitol Hill, at the White House, and at the Department of Energy, and also for state parties in Minnesota and Ohio. He's currently the executive director of Lion's Share, and most importantly, my husband. You may have heard a story or two about him on this podcast. We will not be talking about anything that's embarrassing to me. And representing the younger leaders in this group are Tyler Newcomb, who is working as a campaign manager on a congressional race. He's also worked on other political campaigns and on Capitol Hill. Thank you all for joining me today.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Well, let's start with you, Greg. Tell me a little bit about your origin story, your faith journey.
Yeah, so grew up in the inner city of Los Angeles, Sonia, Compton, California. And, you know, Compton is not a very large city. It's one of the small cities connecting the Los Angeles area, and where many of the people in my community went to the same church, or there were a number of churches, so family went to the same church. So I grew up going to church my entire life. But I would say mission work for me was when the deacons would pass around a basket and people needed, you know, grocery money, light bill. That was what mission work was for me, or mission offering. And then when I was appointed as a federal agent for the United States Postal Inspection Service, they moved me from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And that's where I met one of my current spiritual mentors, Dr. Samuel Huddleston. And it was at his church that I served as a youth pastor, and continued to serve as a federal agent. So he showed me that being called in the ministry, discipleship, was not about just being a pastor at a church, but you could stay in the work that you felt called to be in, which was law enforcement, and still serve the kingdom of God. And it was at that moment that I understood taking kids around the world, Costa Rica, Mexico, Africa, and all many other places as a youth pastor. And that started my journey of discipleship, and that's how I was introduced to Dave Buring.
Greg, how old were you at that time?
Oh, I was in my early 20s, actually. My wife and I, Lakeisha, met in high school. She was in the 9th grade, I was in the 11th. And we got married when I graduated from college, and I think I was 21 or 22. And then when we moved to the Bay Area, I was probably about 25 years old, 26 years old.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask that is because it really, truly is a blessing, Greg, that you heard that message early on in your faith journey, because I've met a lot of people who never heard that. They never heard that you could be both working and discipling someone at the same time, that wasn't the job of a pastor, that it was the job, if you want to call it that, of believers.
Yeah, Sonia, the way I like to share it with believers today is I say the real mission field begins when you leave the church parking lot. What I mean by that is God needs doctors, lawyers, federal agents, school teachers, politicians, campaign managers to do discipleship, to witness at all times, and when necessary, use words. So just serving in the space in which we go to on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Darren? Tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
Yeah, I grew up in a Lutheran church and Lutheran family, so attended church through confirmation. And then when that was over, kind of took a break from church. There wasn't the pressure to go anymore until after college, and found myself when I was working on Capitol Hill with a lot of Christians around me. And so that was an influence, and then recommitted my life to Jesus at that point, and took a while for my lifestyle to match up to that, but ended up in a small group with five guys that we met every week for 5 years, and just really lived life together. And then around that time, I met Dave Buring at the church that I attended at the time. And that's, you know, how I got connected to Lion Share.
What did he say that compelled you to think about discipleship? Did you know anything about it?
I had heard the word, but I didn't know really what it was, honestly. And it wasn't the word discipleship that really drew me into his ministry. It was his talk on finishing well. And that was kind of the thing that attracted me to what he was talking about in Lion's Share, and then discipleship came shortly after that.
Tyler, you're hearing their stories. Tell us about your origin story.
Well, I grew up an atheist, and I got dragged to church because my mom was a believer, my dad was an atheist, but still, for some reason, wanted me to attend church. I mean, I wasn't living a life for God. I mean, I could have screwed up a one-car parade. Believe me, I was not living well. and I just experienced the redemptive nature of God and kind of who he is. When I was 23, you know, God, as he does, he was chasing me, and I can see it in retrospect. You know, over the years, he was just chasing and planting seeds, and it all kind of came together one day. I had three friends all witness to me on the same day, and I had a fourth friend drive to me in a different state because he felt led to. And we prayed together, and I had an experience with the Holy Spirit, and everything really became new at that point. And, you know, I think that's what I like so much about this. I mean, after I got saved, I was on fire for God. I mean, I just couldn't believe that he was real, and that he loved me and cared about me, saved me, and I was on fire. And then I got into my career, life happened, and I wasn't walking in obedience with God in the way that I wanted to, and God put Darren through my life, and we had no reason to become friends. We casually interacted in a work setting. But God put him there, and we did become friends, and he became a mentor and invited me to the leadership games, and that kind of brought me to today, where I feel like he is Lord of my life now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. Greg, tell me, why did you decide to be a part of the leadership games? How did Dave approach you? What did he tell you that it was? Because, you know, I've been talking to a lot of the people who, especially the older leaders who've been a part of this, and I've been asking, how did Dave Buring convince you to give up 2 years of your life to be a part of something? That's not something any of us lightly go into, especially when Dave is asking us. But why did you want to be a part of it?
You know, in law enforcement language, Sonia, it's called a setup. I was entrapped. you know, Dr. Sam Huddleston, you know, many years ago, I think it's over 15 or so years ago, he said, oh, we're going to Dallas, and we're going to be with these guys called Dave Buring, and we're going to do some stuff with Lion Share. And it just changed my life. That experience changed my life. And then what happened is I built a relationship with Dave. From there, it just kept going. So the way Dave set me up is, hey, just come be a part of something and see what you think and experience it. And then when you experience it, you meet someone like Tyler or Seth or Paul, you know, the folks that are on our team. You meet someone like Darren, and I can go on and on in all the groups I've been a part of, and it changes your life. It's something about being a part of a fellowship of men, a fellowship of individuals that inspire you, encourage you, and hold you accountable. One of my favorite quotes is from a secular artist who's no longer living, who grew up in the inner city where I grew up. His name was Nipsey Hussle. He said, if the people in your circle don't inspire you, then it's not a circle, it's a cage. So what I feel every single week, being a part of Leadership Games and now being a part of a leader of leading a group of young men, is that I'm a part of a group that inspires me. It is not a cage. So that's the way I like to say it. Dave set me up, and now I set others up. I invite them to things with Lionshare, and they say, what am I going to? I said, I'll just show up. And the next thing you know, they're a part of it as well.
Tyler, when your friends ask you about it, or even when you were first invited, I remember seeing you at the Leadership Games, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm coming to, right? Darren just told me to come. I mean, people listening to this are going to be like, "What is this, a cult? Like, what's going on here?" You know, Dave Buring, you know, just show up. So I know coming, you didn't really know what you were coming to. But now when people ask you, well, what was that? And what are you doing right now? How do you explain it?
I mean, there is no way to encapsulate the depth of what it is. So I kind of get why nobody did tell me. But I guess the best way I could describe it, it's a spiritual boot camp. And it was really fun. And I have meaningful people who are discipling me in my life and preparing me to walk in my career field. And I feel like the one thing that I learned during this, Dave talked about, was that Christ is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And I guess I really gained an appreciation for that throughout that experience. And it felt like it's prepared me to walk out my faith in the workplace.
Darren, being on the inside, you probably had no choice but to participate. However, you know, you've been around Dave and you heard his vision for the Leadership Games and what he wanted it to be. And so as you are talking to people and inviting them, lay out for me kind of the official line, the official story that you're telling to donors, that you're telling to people that you want to participate. What is this thing actually?
I think Dave calls it an experience. And it is something, you know, the disadvantage we had the first year is we didn't have any examples of people who have been through it. Now we have, you know, testimonies of people and we have videos and we know what to expect. But when I'm talking to someone, you know, I'm generally telling them that this is an opportunity to strategically invest in young leaders who are going to be impacting the next generation in their vocations in a way that, you know, I wish I would have had that equipping from people within my vocation. I went and looked for somebody in government and politics to disciple me when I recommitted my life, but I couldn't find anybody. Luckily, I found Dave, and God's ways are applicable, you know, no matter what the vocation is, but it would have been nice to have somebody to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, you know, I've got this specific thing that's different than, you know, somebody like Dave or somebody from another vocation would encounter, and they could give me advice at a deeper level and also encourage me to apply God's ways and everything that I was doing.
So the format is that the year leading up to the Leadership Games, the older leaders have been going through a discipleship journey, which is LionShare's primary discipling resource. So you went through that every week for a year. Then you went to the leadership games. You got to know the young leaders in your group and also just all the other people who were part of it, who received teaching, who had some real, you know, spiritual experiences that you know, were very life-changing. And then starting after you leave, you've been meeting once a week, and you're about, what, 7 months, 8 months into that process of weekly meeting and going through a discipleship journey again for the older leaders. You're taking the younger leaders through it. Greg, as you think about what's happened since the leadership game, since you've been going through this material, give me an example of something that you guys have encountered during your small group time where you saw, hey, there's a truth that's been taught here, but it's something that I have really seen or encountered in my professional life. And man, I'm really glad that we're talking about this, either for myself or because these guys are going to face that. And it's really good that they're learning this right now.
Yeah, every week, literally every week. We talk about it, how amazing God is, how amazing the Holy Spirit is. Where we are based from the East Coast to the West Coast, and even Hawaii now, and we go to different churches, different denominations, and all of those things. But yet when we come together on Sundays, oftentimes the messages or the sermons that we hear across this country come back to a lesson that in a discipleship journey book that Dave wrote years ago. It's unexplainable, but totally God. And it's just wonderful to experience that. Also, we pray for each other every week. We say, what are we going to encounter in our vocations? What can we pray for? 2 weeks ago, I just happened to be with Senator Manchin, who provided the federal funding to train every police officer in the state of West Virginia in emotional intelligence, how to be more self-aware, how to manage yourself, how to be socially aware, and how to have good relationship management. And he stood up in front of the news, the media at that press conference, and talked about how this is needed in Congress, how this is needed in government, where people are not fighting one another, but they're coming together with one another. In essence, you know, that's what God is requiring us to do, to love our neighbor. So I would ask those who are listening to this podcast and who are considering to come to our leadership game to ask yourself this question: who's your neighbor? And that's everywhere we go, at work, at home, people live next door to us, but there are many neighbors right in our workplace.
Tyler, if you had to pick a chapter that you all have studied that you felt was really impactful for you, either or both as a believer, but also as someone working in this arena of government and politics, can you think of one?
Spiritual warfare, without a doubt. That's the chapter that we're in right now. And it's encouraging because we know, as Christians that, you know, we're in the world, but not of the world. And we're up against a lot, but we know we have a God that can overcome all of that. And that it really breaks down strategically ways where you can pause and reflect and wait on God, listen to God, pray, and overcome any situation that you're dealing with spiritually. And I just think in this vocation particularly, that's really important and really impactful.
Yeah, and so, just because I have a little bit of an inside look, I know that you and Darren have also been able to have some conversations about things that are happening real time in your life, right? So in addition to the group meeting and going through material, you know, I know of situations in which the 911 goes out, right? And yep. You're like, hey, I need some immediate discipleship and counsel and wisdom right now. And I know Darren has done that with Dave and other people he's known. So having someone to call, right, when you're in the midst of going through something that's priceless, right?
It's completely changed my walk. I'm just so blessed to have Darren and Greg pouring into me, and preparing me to do that with other people someday. But it It has helped me stand firm on a firm foundation with God and just stay the course for sure.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
You know, one of the things you think about, and I love bringing the content to life, making it applicable to anybody who is considering this. You know, from a sports perspective, you know, two teams, two opponents play each other no matter what the sport is, and they do everything they can to get to know their opponent, to understand their tendencies, to understand the things that they do regularly. Yet in the spiritual realm, we tend to not know our enemy. And I think that chapter on spiritual warfare is so powerful because it helps us not to give the enemy power, but to understand our enemy. And Tyler and I found ourselves saying recently, I've said for years, but I said to Tyler recently, you know, it's fun when you can understand when the enemy comes against you and you can look the enemy square in the face and say, you've overplayed your hand. That's the enemy, when you know where it comes from. And that's what coming together, sharing, praying for one another does, and helping each other stay accountable.
So, Darren, I'm going to ask you to be the bridge, right, to help us understand, okay, you're helping Tyler with a situation that's happening in real time, but part of the reason that you can give him some good counsel is because you yourself have been in similar situations where you're at a crossroads where you have to decide what to do. And someone has discipled you and pointed you to scripture, to godly principles. Do you see where I'm going with this? Like, what are some things that you have learned through someone discipling you and through a discipleship journey, the book, that you've been able to turn around and say, I'm going to use this now to help Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think of those, you know, the calls that Tyler, you know, I'll get a text or a phone call, and it brings me back to times that I call Dave. I mean, I remember specific times where I was standing when I called Dave, when I had a, you know, a crisis or a decision point to make where, you know, I could have gone one way or the other. And often it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of gray area in politics. And, you know, when you're playing in, you know, when you're working in that field, and I'm sure it's, you know, the same in law enforcement, but sometimes you got to step into that gray area, but you don't want to, at the end of the day, not be able to look your family in the eye or the people you work with and feel like you did something that you shouldn't, that's ungodly. So having had those experiences with Dave, you know, being the best example in my life, I know the importance of being available and being able to kind of look at it. And sometimes I'll give Tyler a different perspective, because when you're in the heat of it, like, sometimes you need somebody to give you a different perspective. And, you know, he listens, and, you know, he obviously makes his own decisions and has a stressful job. But I know that it was good for me to have somebody to talk to about it, who's kind of a third party that's not, you know, fully invested in the day to day of working in that job.
Well, as someone who married into this to this field as a spouse, you know, when I look at what's going on in this vocational field, it seems to me that the downfalls that are easiest to identify, right, that you can say, okay, this is very specific to government and politics and security, is one of the spiritual strongholds is pride. Right? You get to the point where you say, hey, you believe your own press, right? You believe your own success. And so pride is a stronghold that you can be really aware of. Another one, you know, and the opposite of that is humility, right? Another one is definitely, I think, spiritual warfare is one of those things where, man, you really want to take people who work in this field, right? Because it has such an impact on society. You know, security has been in the discussion in the last few years, very high up in the discussion of, like, what does security look like? How should law enforcement behave? How should people who are trying to do godly things in that field, you know, how should they be morally and ethically led? I think too that that lesson about hearing the voice of God has been really important for people who work in politics and government, because you're constantly changing jobs or you're constantly supervising new people. And so that skill of learning to hear the voice of God, I see you nodding, Tyler, that to me is definitely seems to be something that would be really important for this vocational field. I'm going to kick it to you, Tyler, because you're the one who's who's had to change jobs quite a lot.
Well, I just think oftentimes the easiest answer in politics is the wrong answer, and it's not the godly answer, and things move at such a quick pace. And I'd also say that there can be oftentimes many good options, but God has a plan, and there's only one option that God wants in all of that. So being able to hear the voice of God and go through that chapter and identify, because God speaks to all of us in different ways. I mean, for me, sometimes it's that still small voice. Other times it's hearing from Darren, it's hearing from Greg and other Christians for confirmation, and being able to, in a field where so many people are driven, being able to be called and led instead of driven, and actually identify that voice is so critical.
Yeah, Greg, what do you think about kind of spiritual strongholds in this particular field, or something that's really risen to the surface for you as you guys have been in fellowship and discipleship together?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between, you know, government, law, and nation security. You know, what we learn to do in our professions is to suppress our emotions in order to do our work at the highest level, to protect lives sometimes, to lead people, to make, you know, really big decisions that impact others' lives. What we're not taught well is how to express those emotions, Sonia. And it can be a lonely place where, as a believer, as a Christian, as a kingdom disciple, that you don't feel like you have others around you that have that same walk and belief. So one of the things that the leadership games and just, you know, being a part of a group helps you not feel like you're alone. And that's powerful.
Yeah. Darren, one of the questions I asked Dave in the last episode, the first episode of this season, was, hey, why do you have to have an event like the leadership games, right? Can't people just do this in their own church? Couldn't people just say, hey, you know, let's break out into small groups based on vocation and let's take a book, let's go through something together, let's meet on a regular basis. Why is the leadership games needed? Couldn't people do this on their own?
I think a lot of people don't feel equipped to do it necessarily, and by going through it for a year before, that helps. And I think the other thing is, like, a lot of older leaders who want to invest in people don't know somebody to invest in. So it's a matter of being able to bring them together, and then you create an environment where it's easy to make personal connections with them. And then, you know, you're there every week with them. And the unique thing that I think the young leaders got to see, and Dave pointed this out as well, is that the four of us leaders already had like a deep connection together. And I think that helped the young leaders come in and kind of see that and taste that. And then it happened with them as well, and all of us together. So I think having the opportunity to physically be together and be with like-minded people who have decided to take time out of their busy schedules to come to an experience like the leadership games, I think that is what makes it, you know, necessary and makes it better, honestly.
Yeah, Sonia, how would you answer that question, Greg?
Yeah, Sonia, I love that question. What a powerful question. I'm going to steal what Tyler said. Tyler said it's a spiritual boot camp. So when you think of a boot camp, you're going to something in order to change your way of thinking from your old way of thinking and come out on the other side transformed with a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What better way than to do that, than to come to a spiritual boot camp, which we call the Leadership Games, where you're going to take some information, learn to apply that information, and walk away being transformed. Another way to look at it is, how do you take the Bible, take the Word, take relationships to learn to think, respond, and live like Jesus? And the best place to do it is at the Leadership Games. It is truly a spiritual boot camp.
All right, Tyler, I'm going to let you have the last word. You know, we've been able to successfully recruit older leaders to be a part of this next group that have been preparing in anticipation of this summer's Leadership Games. We are still trying to recruit some younger leaders to be a part of this. And we, as Darren said, we've been able to use some video and interviews from last summer to be able to tell them a little bit more about what it is. But I think it'd be powerful for people to hear from you why they should come and give up a few days after July 4th.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely life-changing experience. I knew God before going. I knew the Word before going, but I didn't know the ways of God. I didn't have people who were pouring into my life in a meaningful way. And I feel like through the experience, I can truly, honestly say to everyone here today that for the first time in my life, God is Lord of my entire life. And I'm walking in God's will as best I can. And it's blessed every single part of my life. Like, we've been through some tough times together as a group and some good times. And my situation didn't always change. I'd been through some tough times in the last 6 months. But how I leaned on God through that, how he carried me through it, and how I viewed the situation did change. And I can just say I felt the change the very first night. I remember we did an altar call, and I got a revelation from the Holy Spirit that a blessing from God, this career field, had become an idol. And that was really tough to grapple with. And I stayed up real late into the night praying, and I couldn't shake that revelation. And it was funny, the very next day, Dave went into revelation, obedience, and transformation, the three steps of this process. And this helped me, and having leaders like this pour into my life helped me become more obedient to God's law, to God's will, get to know him better. And now, 6 months, 9 months later, I'm not in that revelation phase anymore. I can say that my life is transformed. And things aren't always easy, but I have a joy that I can't explain in my life, and I'm grateful. This did more for my walk in the last 9 months than the 7 years before it.
Well, we can't ask for a better endorsement than that. Greg's giving you a virtual high five over there. Well, thanks to the three of you for joining me to talk about how a discipling relationship has developed among older and younger leaders in your group. We're going to be talking to leaders in other vocational fields on future episodes, and I'm sure they'll have some of the same and very different stories from what you all have learned and are learning as you come together. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. To learn more about the Leadership Games and about the discipleship tool that all of these groups are using, please go to lionshare.org, and we'll see you next time.
Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God is a production of Lionshare, a ministry that ignites and provides resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you, please visit lionshare.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo.